Well, say this, when I'm gone from our church, I miss our singing. I really do. Let's open up this morning to Romans 3 for just a little while. Be a little bit all over the place after that. But we start here. Romans 3. Starting in verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Lord, we come back to you today. We anticipate a good day at a picnic. Father, pray you'd grant us safety and all those things. Travel up there, and I know there's a couple of folks that have nursing homes this afternoon that we'll make them a little late, but we pray that you'd get us together. Father, we have looked forward to this. Get a chance to give the Hazards a little bit of a send-off. We haven't gotten to spend much time together. But I pray that you'd now, for this time, bless us as we have open books in our lap. It's your book. You gave the Jews the oracles of God. Father, we've been glad to be folded into this blessing. I pray that you just please honor what's preached this morning. If there's somebody here lost, pray you deal with their hearts about their need for a Savior. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you find there in the very first line of the passage we read, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? It says that Paul asks a rhetorical question, then he goes on to tell you what at least one advantage is of being a Jew. But it talks about the Jew's advantage. Now, there's a bunch of folks that you don't have to goose them too much before they get upset, because that's the seed of anti-Semitism sown right there. Because to a lot of folks, the Jews are hated because they believe them to be advantaged. And because the Jews are advantaged above others, therefore they are due all the hatred of the world. Supposedly to them, not to us, but to them, the Jews control empires, economies, internet banking, international banking, the stock market. They control everything. They're the scourge of the world, the Jews. Adolf Hitler, as you well know, is one. There's a lot more left over. But men hate those that are advantaged, but at the same time they envy them greatly and would kill to be advantaged. So I'd like to preach to you for a little while this morning just on the simple subject of advantage. Think about it on several terms. We'll nail one down here in a second, but think what it would be like to be a commander of an army back in the days when men used to line up and fight man to man, and not from, you know, across the horizon, beyond the horizon. For instance, McClellan got a hold of a couple of Lee's order dispatches, which highlighted his order of battle and his approach to the battlefield, and it cost Lee that true victory. Think what an advantage it is if you were able to capture your military enemy's orders and order of battle. That would be a great, great advantage. In the stock market, if you are a part of insider trading, that is, you get information that is not available to the public, you get it from inside a corporation who's going to sell stock, that's called insider trading. That is a great advantage. It's a great advantage to know what somebody's going to sell for, when things are going to change, so that you can pull your money out or put your money in. Hopefully you understand that. Think what an advantage it would be if it were possible. It's not very likely. If it were possible for a judge in a courtroom to be corrupted. Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. I know, it would never happen. For a judge to be corrupt, and then for him to be able to impanel a jury that's corrupt. Like I said, I know this is ridiculous, but imagine what an advantage that would be to a prosecuting attorney. And I know you can't come up with any examples or anything, so, you know, I know, it's ridiculous. Advantage is usually thought of in the context of money, social privilege, racial privilege, ethnic privilege, sports. If you can coerce or compromise a referee, then he could supposedly swing things in your direction, that sort of thing. But again, taking advantage is looked upon very narrowly, but and yet at the same time with great envy, because everybody would love to be advantaged, actually. Now let's talk about spiritual advantage. Think how, since spiritual things are eternal, think about how you would be, how the advantage of spiritual insight, spiritual blessing would accrue and overflow really into your life, but also through all eternity. Think about that for a second. Now, the Bible says that the Jews are advantaged. Paul goes on to tell you that in verse 2, much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Jews are advantaged. They are advantaged because there is no author of this book that wrote anything in here that's not a Jew. So it's a Jewish book. God gave the Jews the oracles of God, which would seem to me to be a good reason to reject Islam or Mormonism or anybody else that chose to write quote-unquote scriptures. It seems like a good opportunity to reject charismatic false prophets or Roman Catholic false prophets. It's just a great idea because they didn't write the Bible. The Jews were given the oracles of God. He inspired Jewish men, to speak and write the oracles of God. The second advantage the Jew might have, it's not contained in this particular passage, but I can say this without any reservation, is that the Lord also blessed the Jewish nation in Abraham. He said, "Blessed shall they be that bless thee, cursed be them that curseth thee, and all thee, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed." The Jews are promised, as no other nation, survival. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no reason naturally for the Jewish nation to even be existent today. But they are, because God will not let them be destroyed. And so those are some advantages of the Jews. That is an advantage for Israel. Now, because of our particular lot, we here in 2024, we are mostly Gentiles. I'm pretty sure that we're all Gentiles in church here this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm saved. Are you saved? Okay, what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Jews rejected their Messiah. They rejected God's ordinances, and when the Messiah came, they were responsible for crucifying and killing him. And what effectively happened, now I would be clear, we did not replace the Jews. What it's like is, it's like the Jews were a prodigal, wanton brother that rejected their father's good wishes and his will, and so he left the home like the prodigal sons do. And in the meantime, the Lord saw fit to adopt us, and while we didn't get all the promises of the Jews, and while we're not sons in quite the way the Jews are sons, still we're sleeping in the room where the prodigal Jew left. We enjoy some of the spiritual blessings that they have. And so you're kind of an adopted son, and the Jews are kind of a prodigal, still gone, coming back one day type scenario. And because of that, the Jews' advantages, some of the Jews' advantages, you didn't replace them, don't worry. You're a different body than them. But some of the Jews' advantages accrue to us. So I'd like to preach to you this morning about advantage. And I just want to tell you how a New Testament Christian is advantaged over just a dude. Born into this life, goes through his 10 years, his starts work after college in his 20s, gets a wife, starts having kids, but he's in darkness and he's ignorant. He's adopted the religion of his mother and father, and it doesn't do much for him, but he's faithful on Easter and Christmas. And as far as being spiritual minded, yeah, you know, when somebody's in the hospital, he'll go pay the priest to pray. But that's about it. I want to tell you my advantage over that guy and your advantage over that guy. Do you know anybody that's lost? Is there anybody that's lost here? Because if there is, please don't misunderstand. I didn't do anything to be advantaged. It's not by any virtue of my own that the Lord has allotted to me an advantage. But I want you to understand that I am advantaged above you. Just like the Jews are said to be advantaged above other nations, above other ethnicities, because God's done something special for them. First of all, you find first thing right here, verse 1, 3, 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. First of all, I'd like to say, because of the Jews and because I kind of inherited their bedroom till they come home, I got the oracles of God. The Lord wrote me a Bible. There's not an author in this book that's not a Jew. And the Lord saw fit when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. Christ rose from the dead. They still rejected him. He ascended back to heaven. They still rejected him. The gospel preachers, the apostles, they still rejected them. So the Lord saw fit to let the gospel, the word of God, go to the Gentiles. The Gentile nations, the dogs of the world, those groups that were not advantaged before, but those groups God gave the Bible. First of all, he let the Bible go into Greek. Then he let the Bible go into Persia and Syria in Persian. He then allowed the Bible to go into Latin for the Italians. He then let the Bible go into French for the French. Let the Bible go into German for the Germans. And lo and behold, he let the Bible go to English for the Englishmen. And you know, the average lost guy lives in a dark, dark world. He really doesn't know where he came from. Now the scientists say, well, you came from a mud puddle. And I just have a problem with that. You came from a monkey, and back before that you came from a lungfish, and back before that you came from an amoeba or something. A one-cell organism in a mud puddle. So the average lost guy, if he's believing that, doesn't know where he came from. He doesn't know where he's going because he can't tell the future. And nobody wrote a book that had any credibility that knows the future. So the average lost guy lives in ignorance. The average guy lives in darkness. Doesn't know where he's been, doesn't know where he's going. He hopes for the best, but that's about all he's got, is hope for the best. Can't see the path he's on. He doesn't know the rules or the rudiments that God gave to us. Think about how awful it would be to wake up and you're in total ignorance and blackness and say that you didn't know the law of gravity. Well, you might walk off of something high and learn quickly. Right? It's like men that live as men live and they're in darkness and ignorance. They don't know what God said. They don't know God's rules. They don't know how they'll be judged. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they came from. Just think What a dark world you lived in before you were saved. I experienced a dark world after I was saved because I got saved at 10 and then didn't grow. Y'all know the story, most of you. And so I went off to junior high school and high school and then college and lived a fair portion into my 20s before, you know, I got any light because I turned back to the Lord. I never grew, and so I kind of lived like lost people live. And what I experienced was great darkness. I experienced how black night can be. I experienced what it was to not know where I was going, not know where I came from, and not knowing the rules of the game. I lived that. Now, think about how dark the world was for you before you got saved. A Christian, ladies and gentlemen, has a great advantage because he has the oracles of God. He has thereby, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, he has access to the mind of Christ, the mind of God himself, God's views, God's judgments on things, to know your Creator, to know what his thoughts are. There was a guy that got really mad at me on the street about 5 or 6 years ago. We were still going down to Nicollet Mall. And I sat down beside him on a bench, a black guy, and we were talking about some things, and he was pretending to be spiritual, and he wasn't saved. And I forget exactly what we were talking about, but I told him, I said, well, the Lord looks at this way. He says, you can't know how the Lord looks at that. I said, yeah, I can. It's right here in this book, right here. He said, no, you can't know that. I thought I was going to have to fight him. The point is that you have access to the mind of Christ. You have access to his precepts. You have access to his principles. You have access to his thoughts. His thoughts are to all generations because you have the oracles of God. You have the Bible. That is a great advantage to somebody that has no eyes and no ears and no hearing. He's just in a dark room, stumbling around, busting his feet up, falling on piercing things that pierce him, stumbling against things, stumbling downstairs, hitting himself on rocks and everything else because he's just struggling, stumbling around, groping in the darkness, groping in ignorance. That's how most people live their lives. Can I just say you have a great advantage if you have the words of the living God. The one that made you, the one that created you, the one who set the rules to this game, the one who knows the devil, the one who knows the future, the one who knows the past, the one that knows everything, and by the way, the one that never lied one time. You are greatly advantaged if you have the oracles of God. We don't write them, but thank God the Jews did. The Lord inspired them to do so, and he passed it on to us in a language that we understand. I want to say that a Christian has great advantage in that regard also in terms of knowledge. Like I said, McClellan at Sharpsburg was able to anticipate and really to know Lee's movements because he had come upon some lost orders of battle. And so there's no reason at all McClellan shouldn't have whipped Lee totally at the Battle of Antietam or Sharpsburg, but he didn't. But in terms of knowledge, again, the average guy doesn't even know the rules. The average guy doesn't even know the adversary. Does he even know there is an adversary? The average guy doesn't even know there's a hell. He may have been, he uses the word as a curse word, but as far as really believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, whose name he curses with all the time, he doesn't know. I'm greatly advantaged because I know him. He revealed himself to me, gave me his mind. He gave me his heart. His thoughts are to all generations. He lets me see. In terms of light, I'm greatly advantaged. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, the Bible says. And the Bible says God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. It says the Word of God is light. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm greatly advantaged to have light. Because a lost guy is stumbling and groping through this world in total ignorance, blind, and in darkness. When we still had the dog, I learned my lesson pretty quick because he slept wherever he wanted to, except in our bed. But you'd leave him downstairs, he sleeps down there for a while, then he comes up into the dark hallway as I get up to go get a drink in the middle of the night. Well, the stupid dog can see in the dark. And he thinks I can see in the dark. Unfortunately, I can't see in the dark. So I came pretty close to taking a tumble down the stairs one time. Head first. You say, what's the point? Well, he could see in the dark and I can't. Because a dog's eyes see in the dark better than a man's eyes. I just want you to know that with the help of the oracles of God, I can see in the dark. The darkness that everybody else finds impenetrable and mysterious and inscrutable and undiscernible, we can see because God told us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a great advantage. That's a great advantage. When somebody starts standing up and talking about the Greek this and the Hebrew that and how the Bible's not right when it says this because it should say this instead, you should cut them off because you've been given something that God gave you, that God inspired for you. You're greatly advantaged by the oracles of God. Look, if you will, in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You have the spiritual advantage with the Word of God. And really, it's more than an advantage because you're totally hopeless without it. You have no light without it. There are things in this life you cannot discover. You cannot uncover. You cannot search out and find an answer to. Not without the Bible. You are greatly advantaged with the oracles of God. In John chapter 10, Jesus blesses us with these words in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. The sheep are saved. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. My goodness. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, there's a jillion verses we can go to on this passage, on this subject. But I'd like to say you are greatly advantaged to have eternal life. I am greatly advantaged to have eternal security. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You are greatly advantaged to be eternally secure in your salvation. If you're saved, your soul is going to heaven. Now, that's not how the average guy lives. Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I have to tell you that one of the vices that I've never particularly been concerned about or taken part in, I don't have any intention to, is gambling. We never had enough money to gamble. And so gambling simply doesn't have any sort of hook for me. I'm not even interested in going to Hinckley for the buffet. So I kind of don't understand it, but there's a spiritual aspect to this, ladies and gentlemen, because the lost gamble with everything, with everything they have. They gamble with everything they are every day that they live without Jesus Christ. For 24 hours a day, however many minutes that is, I can't do the math in my head at the moment, they gamble with dying and going to hell. They look around them. They see and know people that were stricken by just a bug and it killed them. Struck by a car and it killed them. Fell down wrong. It shouldn't have been a big deal, but it killed them. They live with those things. They live with the knowledge of that all the time. They go to funerals and still come out of a funeral lost, knowing full well that one day that's where they're headed. I want you to know that each day you do that, if you're lost, you gamble with everything that you have. You gamble with everything that you are. You gamble with the most precious thing imaginable, which is your eternal soul. You're going to spend somewhere forever. You're either going to a lake of fire or you're going to heaven. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't accept the Christ that comes from these oracles, you're going to die and go to hell. I just want to say that, boy, eternal life, boy, eternal security, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hands, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. That's a great advantage. Man, think how free you are to live. You know, if lost, we kind of laughed and, you know, it was serious, but it was like, became an eye roller. The way people responded to COVID, you know, really? But if I was lost, maybe I would have been one of the nutcases. 17 masks strapped on it. Once I'd even have a mask on my rear end, maybe. Because who knows? Just wear a diaper around. I don't know. You say, what's the point? Ladies and gentlemen, lost people gamble with everything. Every moment they live without Jesus Christ. A soul, an unending eternity, their fate, their destiny, their profoundest treasure is completely secure. For a Christian, it is completely, completely at risk. For a lost guy, every moment of every hour. I don't know how they live. I don't think I could do it. I don't know why they get up. I don't know if I might not be a hermit in a vault somewhere and I just sit around and, I don't know, twiddle my thumbs because I don't want to die today. Think how free you are to live because you know you have eternal life. Think how free you are to die. I mean, pray before you get in your car and get out on the road because there's a bunch of ninnies running around out there driving vehicles. But do I worry about dying every time I get on the freeway? I don't. But I don't know why everybody else doesn't. So, greatly advantaged by the oracles of God. And boy, are we greatly advantaged by eternal life and eternal security. I want to say this, look in Romans chapter 15, if you wouldn't mind. Romans 15 and also Titus 1. Let's do a double whammy here. Romans 15. And Titus chapter 1. Romans 15, let's go down to verse 13. Paul says this to the Romans. He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Hope is a big deal. Let me show you in Titus chapter 1 something real quick where the Bible says this in verse 2, that we are in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, we could do a Bible study here, but most folks in our church here know that from Proverbs 10 and Proverbs 11, that the word hope is defined as an expectation. Okay? It's what I expect to happen, having been promised by God it would happen. That is biblically the definition of hope. Okay? Now, I want you to know something. I want you to know that I'm advantaged over the average guy by having the oracles of God. The playing field is more than even for me. The lights are on. I know the past. I know a good deal of the future. And I know where I stand. By the oracles of God, I have an advantage over the average dude that's lost. For sure. I am advantaged with eternal life, which is the same as eternal security. And I want to say that I am advantaged to have hope. You know, the world says a hope springs eternal. And hope is the ever-present theme in novels and movies. You know, for one, you know, so many scenarios, keeping hope alive. And, you know, sports movies where the short, chubby guy gets to the NBA. You know, because anything's possible for those who dream. Anything's possible for those who hope. It's that kind of stuff, okay? Sometimes hope works out and sometimes it doesn't. There's the soccer team from Uruguay back in the 70s that crashed in the Andes, and they lived there for, were out there for quite some time, and as it turns out, they were rescued. Now, it didn't work out so much for the Donner Party back in the 1840s. They got stranded in the winter, and 39 of the 87 of them wound up dying, eating each other. So sometimes, you know, you sit around, a man sits around with his hope, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. It's kind of like that. I mean, sometimes hope is rewarded. It's going to turn out right. I know in my heart it's going to turn out right, and sometimes it does. And they'll make a movie about that if it's the right subject. There'll be a novel about it if there's the right subject. They'll make a documentary about it if that's the right subject. And then sometimes folks have all the hope in the world, and it just doesn't work out. Right? My hope, however, is not a boy, I hope so. My hope is an expectation that is built upon the promises of one who cannot lie. My hope is built on a promise made to me by my Father, my Creator, my God, my Savior. Hope. What if you were equipped? And thinking about how most folks approach disease, hospitalization, even eternal life. Are you saved? Well, I hope so. I mean, I'm a Catholic for my whole life. My grandfather was a Catholic. My grandfather was a priest. I don't know how that worked out, but whatever. He must not have stayed a priest. Or there's some hanky-panky going on. I'm not sure. But I'm a Catholic. And, you know, that I hope so. I hope I'm saved. But they don't know. Now, what if you were equipped with a hope that really was an expectation that was based on something somebody said, and the somebody that said it knew absolutely what would take place and cannot lie and wants to pass on to you the information? What if you were equipped with that kind of hope instead of the, boy, I hope so. Boy, I hope if I get cancer that it's some sort that chemo will take care of because I don't want to die yet. What if you had that kind of hope? If you will, I need you to go with me in the Bible, and I want everybody to go there, please. Even if you're not used to turning, please see this. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Go on down, if you will, with me. And notice verse 11. Now, this is talking to saved people, but this has something to say to somebody that's lost in just a second. Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, now this is not what you are anymore, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope. When you were lost, you had no hope. And if you're saved, you have all the hope in the world. And it's not a, I hope so. It's an expectation that's built on a God telling you something, and He's a God that cannot lie. Now, how greatly advantaged am I to have that kind of hope? And then to be told furthermore that there is a blessed hope and glorious appearing of my Savior Jesus Christ, who's coming to get me out of this mess. Ladies and gentlemen, a man is greatly, greatly advantaged having that kind of hope. And that's not what the world has. You're watching now a total nose down, down spiral of mankind as he exhausts every hope, every what he would call hope in the world. They're ready to do almost anything in hopes that something will work. And it's just going to nosedive right into the ground. You need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. Let me show you something else that is a great advantage. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, since you're in Ephesians. Look what he says here. Now, this is the Christians. If you're not a Christian, I want you to know that you can have all these advantages that easy, that quick, if you just will. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, where Paul is praying for the Ephesians. He says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." So there's the hope, right? "And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." It says that we not only have hope, but that we have a power that works in us that is God's mighty power. Look in Ephesians 3 and down in verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." A Christian is granted power. A Christian has grace and power working within him that is God's power. A lost guy doesn't have that. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It's not talking about, you know, it's not talking about being an NBA star. But I can do anything that God would have me do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, because all power, he said, is given me in heaven and earth. So I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that a Christian is greatly advantaged by power and grace. When your health fails, what does a lost guy have? When your strength fails, when grief overwhelms, when mortality comes creeping up and suddenly you look up and you're not 35 anymore, you're 55 or 65, and now you're getting close, you're nearer the end than you are the beginning for sure. Well, what then? What have I got left? My strength is waning. My memory is waning. Things are gradually deteriorating. My teeth are falling out of my head, so I can't even enjoy what I eat anymore. What is your hope then? What power do you have? Well, ladies and gentlemen, a lost guy falls back on what? An evolutionary tree? A geological column? Doctors who had you wear a mask? No, I know. I don't need to go there. So I won't. You're really going to fall back on agnostic hope? Well, I'm not sure, but I hope so. Folks, a Christian has a God. A Christian has a Savior that lives within him. The Spirit of God that lives within him. And through that Spirit is power. Power enough to raise you from the dead one day when you die. Power to change you if he comes back before you die. Power to change you to immortal. Bam! Like that. The moment in the twinkling of an eye. I just want to say, folks, that a Christian has every spiritual advantage. The oracles of God, eternal life, hope. Boy, I'm glad my hope is not in the government. Boy, I'm glad that my hope is not in any political party. I'm glad that my hope is not in medicine. I have a God that thought enough of me to give me a book that he wrote. Now, I want to say that I'm advantaged by that hope. I'm advantaged by that power. Let me show you something else just real quick. I'm closing down here pretty quick. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Now, the world gets really corny with this. Everybody knows that love is important. And so the old country singer sang, I once was a rover over land and on sea, but a good woman's love made a new man of me. Wow. I didn't have to look that up. That was still in my heart from a long time ago. Captain and Tennille from my teen days sang, love will keep us together. And boy, people can't help but talk about love, love, love. The love of a wife for a husband, the love of a good woman, the love of mom or dad. And there's a whole bunch of mamas who love their sons. Their sons may be axe murderers and cannibals, but boy, they're still loved by their mamas. Not sure what good it did them, but yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, look in Romans chapter 8. Going down to verse 35. And it says, who shall separate us? And it's talking to Christians now. To Christians. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, any trouble you can go through, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that pretty much includes everything. But he's not done. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Joe Biden's not going to ruin your life. And Donald Trump's not going to help it that much. You need the love of Jesus Christ. It says, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That pretty much covers everything too. There's a lot of stuff covered here. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have the love of God, and apparently nothing can separate you from it. Now, if you're not in Christ Jesus, tell me what's also true. You're not in the love of God. Look, God loved you enough to send his son to die for you. But if you're not saved, God doesn't love you. You're not in His love. You're not positioned in His love. You're not in the place that God appointed to find His love. You're not in the love of God, and you will die and go to hell. And people don't die and go to hell if God loves them. Keeping in mind, the Lord loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. God commendeth His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that love commended, that love extended, that love offered is not love accepted. And if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know the love of God. I can say this. I've been greatly advantaged by having God's love, of the Lord loving me. Because the devil doesn't love you. And the world didn't love me. And I question whether a lot of my friends even loved me. I can tell you who did. God. And I am eternally and inseparably in the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a great advantage. It's a great advantage. Just one last thing, Romans chapter 8, since we're in Romans 8 already. Romans 8. One last thing to say, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So there's love again. And boy, if you can't love somebody back that loved you like He loves you, I don't know what's wrong with you. Well, I do, but we all battle it, right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, notice, according to His purpose. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verse 11, and he's talking about being in Christ spiritually. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Apparently, God has a purpose for us. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, I lived a fair amount of my life those first years after being saved without light and without instruction, and I didn't grow. And I just want to say that what really got me in college, what really got me, was that I had no purpose. I'm looking at a future. I'm smart enough. I'm getting good grades. I'm even striving to get to med school, physical therapy school. So the future beckoned, but I'm sitting here thinking, why bother? Because I didn't have a purpose. I didn't know where I'd been. I didn't know where I was going. I was stumbling about in darkness just like a lost guy would, because I'd never grown in the Bible. So I just want to say that I've been greatly advantaged by having a high calling and knowing that God had a purpose, a plan for my life. And God's plan for me is being a preacher. Now, God's not going to call all y'all to be a preacher. Now, He'll call you to be a witness. But He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's a high calling for all of us. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not Calvinism. It's nothing like that. It's a plan. It's your God creating you for a reason and then saving you to equip you to live a life that's fulfilling and fruitful spiritually. I don't know how you can't be advantaged by that. I've been greatly advantaged by that. A lost guy, no purpose, no God, no design, no plan. Just came from a monkey. Evolved from a lungfish. Took 300 million years. Gonna die in 70 years. Whoopee. Boy, what a glorious life. Just drop off the edge and just go back to dust. Only that's not even true. Drop off the edge and go to hell. Now, folks, it's a great advantage to be a Christian. Tremendous advantage. You haven't even seen it yet. We just get a little taste of it here. There are things that we experience that we know that we're blessed in. I have hope. I know that God loves me. There's a plan for my life and, you know, all those things. But I have not seen, neither have the ear heard. You haven't even fully grasped what God has in front of us. Now, I want to say this. If you're not saved, you will never know. Because hell was made for the devil and his angels. Unfortunately, that's where folks go that don't know Jesus Christ. You would be greatly advantaged to get saved. And then to grow. You'll have light. You'll have hope. You'll know what God thinks. You'll know what God says. You'll have power. You will be loved forever. You will be eternally saved. And you will know the high calling and purpose for God in your life. How could you not be advantaged? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we...